It's the Love Speak series, where a little bit of love goes a long way.
Sally Lou Loveman is a mom, speaker, author, former audience producer for the Oprah Winfrey Show, and founder of Love Speaks.
The number one fear people have is speaking in public. It's actually the one fear I don't have. Join me for the Love Speak series, where we leave fear behind and we speak love, like loving our story, loving speaking, doing what we love, loving each other, and loving ourselves. Our stories are what connect us, and they make us better humans. Join me and my Love Speaks friends for stories, laughs, inspiration, speaker tips, and some unexpected truth. Okay, everybody, this story is going to have you on the edge of your seat, as it has had me on the edge of mine. To most who know her, Kirsten Hathcock is a Shark Tank winning self-taught carpenter and furniture designer who defied all the odds and built an international furniture company out of her garage. No big deal, right? But what most don't know about Kirsten is that at the age of 36, she started suddenly, like out of nowhere, seeing and hearing spirits of dead children, some of whom were killed by predators. So take that in, okay? You're 36, all of a sudden, you're hearing spirits. Her intuitive awakening led to partnerships with detectives around the country and a publishing deal for her memoir, Little Voices, which came out in September. Couldn't put it down. I have to say that when I received Kirsten's email about having her on the podcast, I was a yes right away, because I don't know about you, but I don't know another female carpenter who speaks to spirits. Okay. So that's a yes. Not only were the spirits speaking, and continue probably to speak with Kirsten about solving other cases, like current cases in the world, in the country, I should say, and sending messages to their loved ones, which I can't think of anything more comforting, the kids were also coming to Kirsten to help save her life. She just didn't know it. So we're going to talk about that in a second. But please welcome author, furniture designer, carpenter, and mom of two, Kirsten Parsons Hathcock. Hi, Kirsten.
Thank you so much. I am thrilled to be here, Sally. I can't take it. I just can't. I'm like, I can't even talk. I'm just bursting.
I couldn't put it down. Like, I'm like, aww, to my husband, he's like, what is going on? I'm like, and I love memoirs, and I pretty much only read memoirs because I just love real stories. And I couldn't put it down. And I was just like, what is going on? Like, come on, Kirsten, figure it out. Come on.
I know. Were you yelling at the book like you do in a movie? Like, don't go in there. Exactly. Right. Don't do it.
Don't go in there. Yes. But what's so, you know, okay. So today's podcast is the title is Speaking of Intuition. which is exactly what you had proposed. And that's perfect, because I love, you know, always trusting our gut and knowing when to trust our gut. You take it a billion times further, but help me and anyone listening or watching understand that at 36 years old, you are this just regular person, special, but regular. And all of a sudden, you start seeing spirits and talking to spirits. Can you tell us a little bit about how that happened?
Absolutely. Yeah, it was nothing that I expected, obviously.
No one does. No one does,
especially me. I am very scientific. I believe in empirical research. I was born in Ohio. My parents are very grounded. You know, they're teachers, and my dad's a football coach. So for me, I thought woo-woo was weird. You know, that was really kind of the basis. So
did you think it was weird, or were you skeptical? Like, because there's a difference.
Both. You know, the headscarves and, you know, all of that stuff. I was like, that's not me. I'm going to stay far away from that, and I'm going to look at science.
Right.
So as you can imagine, when I started to notice that things were strange, like I was hearing voices, I was seeing nails move across the workbench while I was in the garage by myself. You know, my first thought was, this is the polyurethane that I have been breathing for the last 3 years. So I'm losing my mind. But my second thought was, okay, that's weird. And why is this happening? It ramped up so quickly that it went from, you know, it went from just those tiny little things or kind of feeling like someone's watching you to full on child in spirit form standing next to me saying, please tell my mom this message, please, please, please. And you know, the beauty,
are you a mom at 36?
Mom at 36.
So
yes.
You had your two children by then.
Yes. Had my two kids. Yeah. They were, now I'm going to have to do math and I'm not good at that. But yeah, they were still, you know, elementary school and junior high age. So I was a mom. I was used to doing all the mom stuff. You know, I always felt like my decision to even prior to that, my decision to launch Mod Mom was a gut feeling.
Mod Mom is your furniture line. Sorry.
Yes. My furniture line. Yes. That I built in my garage. So that decision was very gut based. And everyone else said, you're crazy. You've been in, you know, you worked in television and marketing.
Right.
You're now going to build furniture. This makes no sense. But there was a part of me, even though all of the spirit stuff was really strange, there was a part of me that knew it was true.
Mm.
Because I had already subconsciously, intuitively trusted that gut feeling.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was very, very scary. I started, you know, the thing I needed was validation. Mm-hmm. So one of the first kids that came to me, his name is Nate, and he's detailed in the book.
Yeah.
And Nate's parents went to high school with me. And I thought to myself, when I started to read about his memorial on Facebook, when he stepped in asking me to share messages, I thought, oh my God, I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't share this. I don't want to hurt them.
Right.
I don't know if this is true. You know, what is this going to do to my parents who still live in Defiance, Ohio?
Right.
So I had a lot of trepidation. I had a lot of fear around it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I thought, oh, well, I'll just put it away for right now. And then I pulled it back out a couple of days later and decided I needed to do it.
Okay. I have a couple questions. Was the visit from Nate close to when Nate passed away?
No, okay. Years after.
So it had been years. Mm-hmm. Did he come to you prior to you reading the Facebook post, or did you read the Facebook post and then he came to you?
Exactly. That's exactly how it happened. And I started to notice that that was a key for me. So when I read, I channel, and I didn't realize that I was doing that. And you know, thank God for Nate and his family, because I did take that leap. You know, I stepped through the fear and I trusted my intuition and I thought, okay, I'm going to do this. And I reached out with messages.
What was the message he wanted to?
There are multiple messages, and some of them I really can't share because it's very private.
Of course.
But the net of it is that the messages I did share were things that you could not Google. Nobody could know. I did not really know his parents very well. We had just gone to high school together. That was it. Yeah. So they knew enough to know, like, there's no way she could know this. She's really communicating with our son who's on the other side.
Wow.
And that gave me a lot of faith in my own intuition. And it also provided, obviously, so much comfort to know that he was still around them.
Wow. So you provided them comfort by knowing by just that. Like, that's like, I have a long, long prayer list of parents who've lost children, and it's unfortunate that it's long. And I pray for them nightly. And I always pray for them to have moments of peace, because you can never be at peace if you've lost a child ever as a parent.
No.
But if you can have moments of that, then that is something that's really a gift. And for what I'm reading as a mom myself, the idea of ever having to go through that, and but to have comfort from someone, you just want to know my child's okay, you know?
Right.
You just want to know that.
Absolutely.
And that's what you've been telling parents.
Yes.
So before we get to the whole, like, how you work with detectives and helping other crimes be resolved, because you're not necessarily helping the kids that are coming to you resolving their whatever happened with them, some work crimes. You're really helping them give the messages to their parents, correct?
It's a little bit of both, honestly. It's a little bit of both. So, you know, I do help on the detective side, but in most cases, and in Nate's case, he did not die. He died of an AVM, which was a brain bleed. So, you know, it was something very natural, unfortunately, that happened to him. In the cases where there are questions or there has been some sort of, abuse and murder, then I will help out. And I find that you know, most of who I channel are children. And I thought that was really interesting because coming from a perspective of not knowing anything about channeling, I was never interested in psychics and, you know, none of that. I didn't know that there's sort of a lane that I run in, you know? And for me, I am very, very passionate about that. And I want to make sure that, you know, if a child is meant to come to me and I'm meant to work with that child, then absolutely I'm open and I will do what is needed.
That's so interesting that that's your lane, mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. is a thing that makes so much sense. But we're, okay. So when Nate first mm-hmm. came to you, mm-hmm. I have two questions. One, okay. Were you scared? Like,
yes.
Were you like, holy shit, what is happening?
Yeah.
Were you scared?
I was terrified, honestly. You know, it was one thing to see things moving, to hear voices, to see a flash of something. You know, I think people a lot of times
doubt yourself.
You doubt yourself.
Yeah.
I believe everybody has intuition, which is why I wrote the book. I believe everybody has this ability, honestly, the more that they open up to knowing that there are things that we can't really explain and, you know, love lives on, spirit lives on, the more they will see. So right. I know people see things out of the corner of their eye all the time, and that's how it started with me. Mm. But honestly, to start reading the memorial and have him sort of step forward, and all of my senses came together at one time. So I could see him, I could hear him, you know, I thought, oh my God, I don't need, you know, what am I going to do? and my husband's going to put me in a psych ward.
Right.
You know,
right.
So there was a lot going on in my head at that point.
Was your husband the first person you told?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes,
and,
I did.
You know, let me just say this. I don't know if you used your husband's real name. I have no idea. But all I can say is he's a great man.
He's just a great freaking man.
And
yes. Yep.
For so many reasons. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's so many messages in this book, mm-hmm. but the message that really hit for me was the healing of a marriage.
Yes.
Because
yes.
you put your husband through the ringer, not yeah. just about spirits at all, about
no.
something mm-hmm. we'll talk about in a little bit, but he, you know, the beauty of watching mm-hmm. you heal your marriage. You know, I wrote about that in my book too. And so for me, I was just like, oh, this is beautiful because we're all human and we make mistakes and we figure it out. And I believe, and I'm sure you do now too, that mm-hmm. all of this was supposed to happen. It's all part of the journey. It's mm-hmm. all part of the learning process.
I do believe that. I do. And, you know, that's what's been interesting as someone who is a medium. And towards the end of the book, you probably even read that part where Jason, who's one of the kids in spirit who comes to yes. me, and he came and he said, you could not have avoided what happened
right.
to you. Like
right.
this was set before your birth.
Right.
And so it's interesting to sort of get that perspective because I don't think everything happens for a reason. And I don't understand why everything does happen in the world. But in my personal case, I know that this journey has led me here and has led, you know, to my marriage being able to come back together and,
yeah.
and all of the
most marriages could not withstand adultery,
right.
And on your part, which is mm-hmm, usually, mm-hmm. you know, as well as, hey, honey, we've been living this life, but now I'm going to straddle between the spirit world and our world. Are you okay
right.
with that?
Right. Hey, we're just going to throw this on.
We're just going to, you know, so you've got two massive things going on.
Yes.
And here you are, you know, how many years have you been married?
So 25 this year.
Yeah.
Actually.
Congratulations.
Yeah, 25. Thank you.
Phenomenal.
You
have the strongest marriage there is, right? Because
I believe it.
I believe mine too. There are a lot of people that probably think, how is she still married? And I think to myself, I can tell you why, because we're working yeah. our asses off and it's
yeah.
so much better.
Well,
and,
exactly. I mean, that's how I feel too. And, I'm really lucky in that Scott is, his emotional intelligence is off the charts.
Clearly.
And he will admit that it wasn't always that way. And I think, you know, in the world that we live in, right, we categorize things, right, all the time. The adulterer is the bad person.
Right.
You know, this person is the good person. And these are the stories we want to tell ourselves to keep ourselves safe, right?
Right.
But in his case, he never did that. I was the one who was basically groomed and targeted by a narcissistic a predator, and you know, didn't understand that the wounding that I had endured as a child, as a childhood sexual abuse survivor, was really driving all of that, you know, in the subconscious. So he understood some of that, you know, it was very painful, but he also understood that the first 18 years of our marriage, I was the one fixing everything. I was the one caring most of the weight. He fully admits that, you know, he had to grow up when we split up for those 3 years. He grew up.
Yeah.
And that's the piece that I think that, you know, in so many of these cases, if you're just labeled one or the other, then that becomes the narrative and the story. Whereas he actually sat back and went, no, I have a huge part in this.
Yeah. And as did I, when I figured out, oh, wait, I have a huge part in this. And that's truly, like, I know from therapy, that's when my therapist looked at me and said, Sally Lou, when you own the part that you played is when you'll heal. And I was like, what part did I play? And in the end, of course, I play a huge amount of parts in this. And so that's true. What's so interesting is here you are having your own spiritual journey with literal spirits coming to you, and your husband is having the same spiritual, or is, sorry, is having his own spiritual journey that has nothing to do with what is going on with you, but you're having it kind of at the same time for different reasons. But in the end, the fact that you know, both grew in much different ways, but whatever your process was, I mean, you just said you're the victim of a sexual abuse from sexual abuse in your childhood. That is something you didn't remember. Am I correct about that?
Yes. And, you know, I find that that's super common. You know, I've even done my own research, and I know it's sort of a taboo topic in the psychology world that repressed memories aren't real. But the more I dive into it and look at it, even from a studied, you know, empirical research standpoint, the more I recognize as well that it's real. Right. And so for me, the abuse was so horrendous. I was raped when I was 5. The abuse started when I was 3, and it stopped when I was 6. And it was a distant uncle of mine. And so, but the abuse was so horrendous that it locked back in my subconscious. And when I started to become intuitive, I started to recognize that I was intuitive, and I started channeling, I was 36. When the memories of the abuse started to come back, I was 40. And between those years, what it did is it gave me the confidence to trust those visions I was seeing, because so much of what I channel, you know, it has to do with children who have been abused by sexual predators. And they're showing me that.
Not a mistake.
Right. There is. And I kept asking myself prior to having my own memories, I love that they're coming to me. Maybe it's because I'm a mom. Maybe it's because I build kids' furniture in my garage. Maybe I don't know why they're coming. And then finally, I recognized that I was in their club. I didn't perish in their lands. But and that's like why they were coming.
That's the thing. And I think it's so interesting because, although we haven't discussed your relationship that you fell into, that was a narcissistic abusive relationship that was not with Scott. I think that you mentioned in your book that you weren't seeing as many spirits as you had before. And I think that's so interesting because it just is proof that bad energy around you can block a lot of blessings, whether it's the blessing of happiness or the blessing of, you know, connecting with the spirit world. Not that I would say most people would say if they were given the choice, hi, would you like to connect with the spirit world or not? I think most people might say no, because I think a lot of people are terrified. I would say yes. I mean, I just went to a medium in September. And she practices Reiki. So I was going for some Reiki healing. And as soon as she said, okay, now it's time for your reading, I was like, okay, let's go. Okay. And she said the spirits were just lined up, uh-huh. lined up. And mm-hmm. every single one of them, I knew right away. And I knew it from my body. Like I was yes. like, oh yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, uh-huh, mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And I can stretch anything, but like you can't Google stuff, like you said, that when people say, you know, like my dad was in the room and he's such an adorable face, like that's what he was known for, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's just very cool. I am going through a really hard loss of a friend.
I'm sorry.
Not death, sorry, mm-hmm. but it's sad. It's broken me. It feels like a death to me. And this was my first reading with her. And she said, you know, I don't know if you know, but I was spending a lot of time during Reiki on your left side, which is your female dominant side. I feel like you're having trouble with a really important female in your life. Mm-hmm. And I was like, tears start going. And she goes, oh, she did you dirty. I was like, oh my God. Right. And so, you know, it's not about blame or anything like that, because there are two people in relationship,
yeah.
obviously.
Yeah, for sure.
But I was like, I so believe in all of this. Mm-hmm. I am never a skeptic. I believe that there are teams of people around us all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's just whether or not you want to open your heart, your mind, your spirit, your eyes, your mm-hmm. ears open mm-hmm. to this world or not. And yeah. you decided to open.
I did. And, you know, I was scared though. I have to tell you, you know, it's not in my wiring. You know, I didn't grow up with any of that. So it was very scary. It's much easier to be the woman who won a deal on Shark Tank and build a furniture company than right. it is to be, you know, and I had the choice. Right. That's the interesting part. I had the choice. I could
By the
have
way,
just
two
not
scary,
done any of it.
Really scary things. Yeah. You're a bit of an overachiever, Kirsten.
I know. Oh my God, right?
I mean, most people Ooh. Wouldn't want to go on Shark Tank either. It's terrifying.
Well, that scared me too. I will be yeah. honest with you. That was yeah. terrifying. So
yeah.
Yeah, I, you know, I think it's interesting though, like to go back to the abuse, the abusive yeah. relationship. When I was in that, the kids who were coming to me quite a bit that are in my world, who were the ones who helped save me, they Harry, were right there around me. Yeah. Jason, Nate.
Yes. Yeah.
They were right there with me.
Oh, good.
And the other kids were around me too. I could feel them, but they weren't coming in to give messages because I was, you know, knee deep and being horribly abused, right?
I couldn't see it, right?
And what was interesting about that, and why another reason I wrote the book, is because I think, you know, again, we all have intuition, right? And it's right. a roadmap if we trust it. Instead of hearing from specific voices, I was actually feeling, like you mentioned, mm-hmm. you know, you felt in your body.
Yeah.
I was feeling my guidance. So anytime he would scream at me and yell at me and, you know, I was not in a good position, I would have this buzzing sensation on my right hip.
Right.
And I started to notice it. I'm like, that is so weird. Why is that? And finally, when I got out of the relationship and was able to get the restraining order and all that jazz, that buzzing sensation went away. And it's right. never come back. And so, you know, I was able to kind of put all that together and realize that that was little Kirsten. Mm. And little Kirsten was actually the one, you know, the subconscious drives 80% of our behavior, right? So we run around thinking that we're making all these great conscious decisions. And, you know, the moment that I actually started to be drawn to the man that I had the affair with, it was a perfect storm of awfulness, job loss, coming to grips with memories of being raped as a child, you know, a marriage that had a lot of codependency on both sides, but yeah. was not being addressed. I was worn out. I was working on murder cases. I was, you know, feeling like I had the weight of the world. And then we have kids, right?
And you're building furniture.
I have kids. I'm trying to just keep everything. We went through a lot of job loss, myself and then Scott included.
Right.
So
right.
Just trying to pay the bills.
Right.
And that perfect storm is what led me to, in within a week's time of knowing this man, say, I'm out, Scott. I'm done. And what was interesting about it is there were people in my world.
It was like, oh, it's my way out. But oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You know, when something, this is, talk about intuition.
Yeah.
When something looks really good, like so mm-hmm. good, like it can cure all the things that you just listed. Mm-hmm. It is not.
It is not.
It is not. It is not.
And I, you know, and that was what was so interesting. Like I know that I have been driven, my subconscious has driven a lot of my actions throughout my entire life, mm-hmm. because that's how it works. However, in that moment, this man stands in front of me. He knows everything about me. He's friends with my friends. So my guard was down. It wasn't like I was out looking. I wasn't planning on leaving my marriage. Nothing.
You met him through business, through your furniture world.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. So I met him through, the furniture world. And I wasn't planning on leaving my marriage. I actually, I knew those things deep down that we needed to fix stuff, but I was not, I was a pleaser. I was just always running around fixing everything. Right. So he knew everything about me. He did all of the stuff that a narcissistic abuser will do. They sort of groom you and they target you and they learn about you. And then they say, oh, this is so wonderful how you're doing this. I'm also abused. I was also.
Okay. That was my next question. Mm-hmm. I didn't remember in the book. Did you share with him that you had been a survivor?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I did. Well, you know.
Right.
If you're going to be a predator, then that right there is like, well, I got my person.
Yes, because exactly.
You have no idea. Anyone who's been through it, I have not, but I know very closely people who have, and you're operating, you know, little Kirsten might have been in charge of you at that moment because all you wanted to do was, you know, hide, get away, run away from your problems.
And he represented that.
Right.
He represented my uncle. And that was what was so interesting, because I think if you're abused and you've locked that away, you will sort of resonate with that energy that is on that same level. Because to you, to little Kirsten, abuse was love.
Right.
And so I was just like a moth to a flame because he felt familiar on a subconscious level.
Well, a narcissist always looks for the weakness in the person and that's it. Like, boom. Okay. I'm just going to prey on that weakness.
Yeah.
And I will get all of my fixes in because that's what a narcissist does.
Right. So. And suck all the goodness, right? Because so many people that I know who have been, and I know way too many people have been through this kind of relationship. But so many of them, the women are strong, independent, smart, you know, they have it together. Mm-hmm. And that's what's really fascinating to me. You know, I think that I felt like he was attracted to me because he knew I could bring a lot of different things to him. But also I was, you know, I was sort of being sucked dry of that goodness as I was being groomed and abused.
Totally. I have a really interesting question. Of course, I want to know for people listening, how anyone can turn up their intuition, how people can make it more available. But what I want you to answer first is if someone is in an abusive relationship and when you're in one, you know, you're in one, you don't have to question it. And they've turned off their intuition because of fear or whatever it might be. What is a sign that your intuition has been turned off? Like, what would be that sign?
So I think, you know, for me, actually, my intuition was still going very strongly, but it had to get my attention in different ways. Mm-hmm. Before, it was because I was in a different space, headspace. I was comfortable. I was supported. Right. When I was in the abusive relationship, I was none of that.
Right.
And so that's why the buzzing sensation on the right hip, I would get panic attack symptoms. I would get chills constantly. So it was like
your
my
body
intuition
was shaking you.
Yes. And I, yes, exactly. And so I was, you know, having what the nervous system would be, you know, would say is a panic attack, but that's also connected to your subconscious and your intuition. So I think sometimes in those situations with an abusive person, the survivor needs to be very aware of what they're feeling. Because I think we get so, you know, I was so turned around by the end of that thing. 3 years, I had to relearn all kinds of things. Right. I had to really kind of find myself again and understand how my intuition was working, you know, at that point once
therapist?
I was out. I worked with a therapist. I worked with a psychologist. I kind of went, you know, I went all in because I knew that, you know, I could have probably shortened that 3 year time period, even though I know I was meant to meet him. I was meant to go through.
Right.
I needed help to remember me again. And that includes intuition.
Right. And also now you're helping families mm-hmm. find comfort with loss of a loved one. You're helping detectives mm-hmm. solve crimes that they're actually working on of missing children. Mm-hmm. And you're helping women like you mm-hmm. out there who are in abusive relationships and understanding, oh my goodness, I need to get out. Like I need to get out. Yeah. And some people, like I read somewhere where in your book that like some woman was like, ooh, I missed that bullet. Like, thank God, yes. I dodged that bullet because like he specifically was after her or mm-hmm. was trying to, you know, mm-hmm. so you really, your life is extremely purposeful. Do you feel a tremendous amount of purpose? And do you feel a tremendous amount of like, I got to wake up every day and helping people, you're serving people and, you know, be a mom and be a wife mm-hmm. and, you know, run a company. I mean, is it exhausting or is it exhilarating?
It's both, to be honest yeah. with you. And I think, I don't know if you feel the same way about, you know, everything that you do for the world too, but I feel like it's both. And I had to learn boundaries. You know, that right. was one of the things I learned along the way. I didn't have those boundaries. And that's common with childhood abuse survivors. Mm-hmm. And so once I learned that and, you know, was able to say, okay, I need to figure out how to balance my life, real life, all the stuff that I do here with the afterlife, because it can be overwhelming. Mm. And so I set boundaries. I set barriers. I, you know, someone might come to me and if I can't talk to them in that moment, I will tell them, I'm sorry, honey, I'm going to get right back to you. And I promise I will chat with you in just a minute, but I need to finish XYZ. So right. I had to learn to kind of manage my time. That's and
the coolest thing. Like, I mean, my office hours are.
Exactly. But, you know, thank God for all the mediums that have come before me, right? Right. I mean, I know I'm definitely different
Women were stoned to death in the yeah. public square for and called witches for this. Yes. And this is I have no idea if there mm-hmm. are more male or I'm more female than male mediums, mm-hmm. but I've seen a male medium, but I've seen mm-hmm. more female mediums. I mean, women are known for having their intuition.
Yes.
That we are blessed with that. And if we're not using it, it's a resource that is wasted, right? So right. I would say to right. anybody, forget talking to spirits, just depend on your intuition for all of your life's big decisions, yeah. whether it's, you yeah. know, in a relationship or in a job or with your children, whatever it might mm-hmm. be, and trust it. I mean, it's there for a reason.
And, it is. And it's real.
It's so real. Mm-hmm. I know from me that the basics for learning, Rebecca Rosen is a medium mm-hmm. that I love. And she wrote yeah. a book, I think it's called Spirited. And she says, I want people to learn how to understand how to do it themselves.
Yeah. So, and that's me too.
Which is what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And so I know that when I am praying more and meditating more mm-hmm. and talking to God more and just being silent, I feel my intuition just really building and I see signs. I've never seen someone. Yeah. My mother has, my daughter mm-hmm. has, but I probably could if I worked at it and I'm a little scared.
Yeah. Well, so. You know what? It's that fear probably that mm-hmm. fear seems to be a block, you know, in many, many departments. For me, because I was hit over the head so much with it and it felt, yeah. it wasn't anything I was looking for. I don't charge for, you know, I'm not your stereotypical medium or right. psychic that you can go see. I just happen to, you know, I'm open. I have an open sign right. that says, come to me if you,
right.
if you're supposed to.
Right. But you do have to respect your office hours. So
but
I
you have
that.
To respect. Yes. Because, you know, we're here to live a human life and
did your kids
learn
ever
and grow.
Say, right. Did your girls ever say, mom, like we need you right now. Can you tell Jason to like, you know,
I tried my best to not have those, you know, yeah. to not mix those two, because, you know, first and foremost, I'm a mom
yes.
and a wife. And so I really tried hard. What was interesting though, is the fact that I would notice that they would see who is in our house.
Okay, that's what I don't understand. Mm-hmm. So I think Scott saw spirit too, which really helped with obviously
helped him
believing you, right? But I know he believed you before that, but how is it that your family could see them too?
So I think, you know, from what I'm understanding, and I'm still learning a lot of this because it's only been 10 years now, I think, that I've been channeling. But from what I understand, there is somewhat of a lineage. Sometimes that does happen. And within families, you have this lineage. Yeah. I believe in our case, that might be a smidge of it. But I also know that both of our kids are highly, highly creative.
Yeah.
I'm highly creative. My husband's highly creative. So we have two supercharged, highly creative kids who are highly sensitive as well and highly intuitive. And so I think they're just more open to it.
Right.
I know Nat. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Are they interested in this work? Like, have they ever had an experience like yours?
So when I was first coming into my gifts, Nat, who is our oldest daughter, she's trans. And in the book, her name is Noah because she came out at 19. Right. But Nat would see the same spirit that I would see. And I would notice it because I could see her head move as I was moving my head to watch. And we had a few talks about, you know, nightmares and grandma sitting on the end of the bed and, you know, that type of thing. And I said, babe, you don't have to be this dialed in. You can say, no, I don't want it. Right. So she said, no, I don't want it. And our other daughter, our youngest daughter, Grace, she's a singer-songwriter. And I think most of what she's writing, because it's pretty beyond her years, is channeled. And I know that she's a little bit more interested and she taps in, but she was also saying, Mom, there's a little boy in the kitchen with a red hat on. You know, things like that when she was younger. Yeah. She's definitely more accepting of it and wants it. But I love that we have that power to say, no, I don't want this. Or I do want this. That's a good thing to know.
And that, I've heard that with every medium I've ever talked to, that you actually can say boundaries.
Right.
You know, because one medium was seeing a lot of dark spirits and she said, I don't want that. No, you are not welcome.
Yes.
And whatever she did to claim and speaking, you know how we all always say, like, speak what you want into the universe. Well, the universe is listening.
It is.
And so are your spirits. And let them know you want them, or let them know, sorry, I don't want this. And it really can happen. But of course, you have to be a believer. You know, I mean,
yes.
My daughter, Carly, who's 28 now, when she was 3, we were at my sister's house at Christmas time. And my sister, you know, their house is old, built on, you know, land that maybe George Washington and his troops came through or whatever, like a long history. So the fact that there would be baby spirits there would not be out of the question, right? So historical area in Princeton, New Jersey. And so Carly comes to me and says, Mom, when did Nana get here? And I was like, Nana's not here yet. And she's like, well, then who's the lady at the bottom of the stairs in the fur coat? And I was like, oh God, it's happening. And my mom at my sister's home also has seen her parents there, like in a top hat and coat, like at Christmas. So it's just interesting, you know, people have the ability to see and we all do.
Right. We all do. Yeah. I just think, you know, some of us are dialed up a little bit higher. I think in some cases, you know, whatever our souls decided before they came into this life and they said, I want to learn this, and this, and I'm going to do this, and, you know, you can dial, you're naturally dialed up a little higher. Yeah. And that's the case with me. Well, but I also think that the abuse was part of what made me a good medium, because I can
totally
compartmentalize. I can disassociate, which is what I did as a child.
Oh, interesting that you say that. Okay. I wasn't thinking that, but so true. But also because when you come into this life and you are here for a purpose to fix or correct or learn from your past life, you know, whatever happened in a past life, or which I've been studying recently because my cousin has brought it to my attention. I don't know if you've ever heard of family constellation work, but it's about like you or me, we're going through this life with wounds from our ancestors.
Yes.
That sometimes we have to make right. Mm-hmm. So no matter what, like the fact that you in this lifetime are a survivor of sexual abuse, whatever this happened, these spirits coming to you, the abusive relationship has made you work and see and clear to a space where it's like, okay, now I get it. Like I'm not going to say you're healed, but you are probably so much more broken open and happier than you were when you were closed off and compartmentalizing and keeping your uncle at bay.
Yeah. And, you know, I think, you know, there's generational abuse in my family on both sides. And I think if you look at most families, you're going to find that. Unfortunately, it's an epidemic. We talk about it, but it's not talked about nearly as not enough. But it's interesting you mentioned that because I was just reading the other day about epigenetics and the, changes within. It's actually has to do with if you have endured or your family has endured some sort of trauma, let's say childhood abuse, then it can change the way that your genes work.
Oh.
It doesn't change the DNA strand,
but it changes. I get it.
Exactly. Right. And that seems similar to what you just mentioned. So I'm going to have to check that out.
It's called family constellation work. Okay. And I find it to be super interesting. And then I just watched a series called Another Self on Netflix.
Oh,
it's a Turkish series. My cousin Alessandra told me about it, and she is a facilitator for doing family constellation work. And it's called Another Self, and it's kind of, any skeptic would be like, "Oh, come on!" But it was really sweet. It's a tad corny, but it's super cute, and it brings all of this. And I was reading your book while I was watching this series, and I was getting a little like confused because they're not speaking to spirits, but they are representing the pain that came before them.
Yes.
And they are working it out in their life. Yeah. So it's a fictional series, but it's based on real constellation work.
I'm going to have to check that out.
Yeah.
I'm going to check that out.
It's Turkish. So it's dubbed. So it's like, the English is dubbed in. So you think like these actors are like not that good, but no, they are. it's just that it's dubbed. And so it's not subtitled.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Oh, I love that.
Interesting work.
It is interesting.
You know, if for anyone who believes that we are just here and, like, oh, well, my life is important and I'm here. I mean, the generations that stand, before us and will stand after us. I think that really came to light for me when my son sat down and did our family tree and to see it on this big board of like, all these people. And we think, we're so important in this life.
Right.
But think about all the generations that have come before us that are gone. But it's just so interesting. It's humbling. It's humbling.
It is humbling. And I think that it actually made me feel better about life in a weird way. And obviously it's really difficult to sit with parents and share hard information. It's difficult to see what I see, because I'm basically like a CSI detective, but a lot of it is just coming to me. So I can, I see images and things very hard. However, to know that Jason and Carrie and my grandmother and everybody that, has passed on, that they're around us, they're helping us. There's a purpose for, why we decided we wanted to come in and, into this human life again.
Yeah.
I'm very grateful. Yeah.
Has it changed? Has it made you less fearful of death?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like, I don't fear what happens afterwards because, I've had so much experience in talking with them and they are telling me, that I help them into the light even sometimes that happens.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure. And that, that was interesting because at that point when I started to come into all of this, I only knew the Ghost Whisperer television show. Right.
Right.
So I remember kind of thinking like, oh, she does this. She helps them into the light. What does that look like? Because there were a couple that were coming in and I was feeling them on my right side. So I would have chills all the way up my right side. And I started to look at patterns and recognize that when they come on the right side, it means that they have not crossed trust into the light yet. And that's just for me. That's how it works for me. I don't know about anybody else.
Right.
On the left side, they're already on the other side. So I started to notice I was, you know, having a lot of those spirit come in, and I Googled it. To be honest with you, I just got on my computer like I did to learn carpentry and typed in, how do you cross spirit into the light?
Because
and what
you're an
I found,
because
I'm an overachiever. Exactly. And what I found was I just needed to create a light in my mind. And then I have to, you know, in many cases, they don't want to go into the light because they're scared. And so I do work with, you know, a lot of kids who have committed suicide and they're scared they're going to go to hell. So I explain there's no hell. There's only light and love. And if you go, you know, you can come back. It's not, you know, when you walk into that
it's
light, you're going to understand. It's not just a one way thing. And so that's kind of a speech in a way that I give when that happens. Yeah. And for the most part, they go into the light. You know, they somehow they trust what I'm saying.
Well, there's something about this left side, right side, male, female, light, dark. Like, I don't know. I don't know. So they're it's clearly, because my medium was saying similar, not at all what you're talking about, but she was saying that my left side was feminine, my right side was masculine. I don't know. Oh my gosh. I just had like seven questions. I mean, is it okay? Are they always people you know of, or are they could be you live in California and it's someone in Pennsylvania? Like,
yes, absolutely. And you know, what was interesting is, you know, as I was being,
I'm not saying you live in California. I'm just saying,
it's okay. I know you that's okay. it was interesting because when they first started to come, they were people that I knew, you know, there was some connection to someone that I knew. And that was great because it provided opportunities for validation, which is the only reason that I even trusted any of this. You know, had I not received validation, I would have been like, and moving on, you know, I wouldn't have gone into any of it. So, so yeah, I definitely, you know, that validation helped a lot for me to, you know, to be able to have that. But then what I noticed right after that is that there were many cases that were coming to me. Children many times killed by predators or pedophiles, and those are all linked together, and they were all over the country. And some of them are, you know, happened in the 60s, 70s, 80s. There were just all of these different, you know, stories coming together, because this is something we need to eradicate in our society.
So you basically were born to help and this hideous, you know, epidemic of pedophilia and abuse. And you had to go through it yourself to really understand it and feel it in order for the lane to be open, in order for that lane to be actually, you know, available to you, because they wouldn't have come to you if you weren't, because they knew you've walked their path.
Absolutely. And like you said, I'm an overachiever, right? So they, and I'm a doer. And I think that was part of why, you know, when I got information on a specific case, I went and dug for hours and hours and hours, you know, like I want to know how can I help? What can I do with this information? And it's easier now because, one of the cops, his name is Mark Pucci. He's a retired NYPD detective. He and I founded a nonprofit together that helps families of crime victims. And, you know, we've worked together for 10 years. We've seen how devastating it is when a case goes cold. And then, you know, the families have to pull all of that out of their own pocket to pay for investigative services. So we said,
well, the name, I know it's initials and something. What is
it? It's National Institute for Law and Justice. So we call it NILJ.org. If you want to check that out,
I'll put all of this in the show notes. Trust me.
Thank you. Thank you. But that's wonderful, because we wanted to, you know, take that burden off of the families financially. And what's also amazing is we have all of these people coming on board that are, you know, decorated seasoned CSI detectives or cold case, you know, detectives. Just amazing how many people are being drawn to this organization, and we're just getting started. So,
I mean, I will say, obviously it's because of your hard work, your passion, and Mark's as well. However, I wouldn't doubt that spirit is leading that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, they've been leading this whole charge, to be honest with you. And I know you read in the book where, you know, Little Voices, the book that it just came out. I wasn't planning on writing a book. I just, you know, that wasn't something that I was in. Wasn't planning on being a medium. Wasn't planning on a lot of things. You know, I thought I was going to live this, like, you know, ad sales marketing life in Chicago.
Oh, boring.
You know, and that's it.
Bore. But very steady, you know, but totally boring.
Yeah. So apparently that was not my path. But
you have
even
a daily
with this,
prayer.
That's a good question. I do pray. I do, but more so, I just ask that my guides and my angels help me.
Yeah.
You know, process everything every day the way it's intended. But you know what? That's a good question. Maybe I need a daily prayer in addition to that.
Whatever. You've got a lot going on. I'm sure you pray, and you know, everyone prays differently too. So
it's true.
Have you been able to find gratitude yet for the work that, gratitude for the journey of abuse that you were on?
Yes.
Have you been able, I'm not saying you have to write him a thank you note, but what I'm saying is, have you been able to find gratitude for having gone through it?
Absolutely. I mean, just to be where I am now with my husband, with my family, I'm alive. I was at risk of being killed, and also just dying, because when you're in that kind of abuse, that's what happens, you know, you're whittled away. So I feel so much gratitude, for the journey. You know, that is something. And honestly, Jason coming in spirit and telling me, I could not have avoided him in that piece, helped with that immensely.
Jason also, coming in to help you get out of your relationship. Right.
Yeah. And just telling me that was the case, you know, that this was planned before my birth, that piece of it, that helped tremendously to let go of that.
Does he still visit you? Does Jason still visit you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're all around me all the time. Yeah. The TV goes on and off constantly. The other day we were having dinner and the back of the chair flipped off. Okay. All right. Who's that? They come in and out all the time.
Yeah. When I see, I lost my dad 7 years ago. I have to count on my fingers. Yeah. 7 years ago, we just lost my mother-in-law.
I'm sorry. And
we've had a lot of loss this year. It's been a massive year of loss, like, like 8 people that are very significant of all ages. And, I just, because I learned this with my dad, I mean, he started visiting like immediately. Mm-hmm. And I write about that as well.
Yeah.
I've never seen him, but he visits a lot, and nothing like moves in front of me without, you know, but I have such a beautiful spiritual relationship with him.
Aww.
And I talk to him. I'd be like, hi, Dad. Like, oh, God. Blah, 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 blah. You know, like
I
he's in my life and I feel him.
Yes.
And it makes me so happy. Grief is grief. It's hard and ugly and awful. And we all have to go through it. But when you get past some of that and you welcome in, hey, you are not gone. You are not on this earth.
Yeah.
But you are far from gone. And let's keep talking. That is the way through grief, in my opinion.
It is. It is. It changes a lot, I think, for so many people. And that's what I've seen with the grieving parents that I've worked with. And, you know, Nate still comes in. He just came in a month ago. It was the anniversary of his death. And he had messages for me to pass to his mom. And we're going to see each other in a month, because I'm heading back to Ohio, and we're going to do an event there and together, because I want to honor their family as well.
Well, that's so nice.
Yeah.
It's so nice.
It's pretty amazing, because they come in when they're supposed to, and they give you the messages right when you're supposed to hear them.
Yeah. Why do you think you were chosen for this work? I mean, you've already pretty much said it, but like,
I think, as far as like being able to talk about intuition and all of this woo-woo stuff that I never believed in before, I think that hits home with so many.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things that I've heard from my angels and guides is that I needed to tell this story and, kind of put it all out there, in a scary to do that, right. but put right. it all out there, because people, if you understand that there's more to what than what we, you know, to life than what we can see and feel and touch,
right.
and that that there is afterlife, that those souls live on, it changes you in yeah. how you look at life.
Yeah.
And so I really, you know, feel like I'm supposed to tell this story for the skeptics and the domestic abuse survivors, because had I known that the subconscious drives 80% of our behavior, and then that's where those wounds were locked.
Right.
Maybe I would have been a little more discerning. That is what I learned. Discernment. Yeah. I did not have it before. And right. I would have been more discerning with people as they come into my life. Mm-hmm. I ended up going on and at one point, you know, was working with like 4 or 5 different narcissists. Like I felt like I was just covered in narcissism. Right. And once I finally broke out of that, I stood up for little Kirsten in a way that she couldn't mm-hmm. as a child.
Yeah.
I don't really deal that much with that anymore. That energy, you that did. Narcissism, it's wonderful.
Yeah, it's a cleanse.
Happy about that.
What yeah. you did was a full on cleansing and powerful breaking of a cycle.
Yes.
And so maybe what you're doing is breaking the cycle of generational abuse in your family.
Absolutely. And you know, and that's what I hope for my kids and their kids. And, mm-hmm. you know, it has to stop here. It has been way too long. Yeah. So that's what has fueled me as well.
And Scott was brought to you for a reason. So, you know, because you couldn't do it without him, because his support. How do your, before I let you go, how do your parents feel about your work? How do they feel about your work now? And how did they feel about your work when you first told them, I see spirits?
So when I first told them, like everyone else, they were very skeptical. And I said, I understand. I get it. I do. My dad was a little more open than my mom initially. Now they full on believe, but they also have had the luxury of, you know, hearing Detective Pucci say, right. your daughter saved my life.
Yeah.
I mean, case, you know, so it's that same validation.
Having that validation.
Got.
Right.
Yeah. And that helps. Help them. Yeah.
That's so, like, God bless that detective Mark Pucci. Like, he's
seriously,
he allows you to call this work and not play. You know, this is real work, real work. It is really, truly your talent, and it is not happening by accident.
No,
I can't thank you enough. I mean, we just literally skimmed the surface. So I would just suggest for anyone to read mm-hmm. Little Voices, whether, you know, whether this means anything to you as whether you're a victim of sexual assault, a survivor, I should say, of sexual mm-hmm. assault or domestic violence. This book just opens up your heart and opens up your world to saying, there is so much more than just what's happening in front of my face. So it's also a beautiful story about reconciling a marriage and being a mom and being on Shark Tank.
Yeah, there's a lot in this book. That's for sure.
There's a lot. This is a movie, by the way. This is a full movie. Are you putting
Thank
that
you
out
for saying that. Well, so it's being shopped right now, and I'm really excited. I know that there's a lot of interest. I know the people who have been reading it, you know, in the film and TV world are very excited. So I do believe, and the kids in spirit have said it will become a movie. I think
Reese Witherspoon should play you.
I do too. I do too. Can we talk to Reese?
I don't know what you're. I think this is a Little Sunshine production, or Little Sunshine. What is it?
Hello
Sunshine. I'm saying Little Sunshine because of Little Voices. This is a Hello Sunshine production, and I think she should play you because you know I
love her. Yeah.
Director.
Thank you. I'm hiring you, Sally Lou. Okay.
Well, everybody, go get this Little Voices on Amazon, Kindle, or Kirsten.
Hathcox.com.
Yep. Your publisher, you wanted a publisher with a tree.
Yes.
And I think that we didn't even talk about it. Post Hill Press,
right.
A Christian conservative publisher.
Right.
That did this.
Yes, they did do that. And yes, it was all meant to be.
Right.
You'll read about that in the book.
It's right. Well, thank you so much. I can't thank you enough for taking the time, telling your story, and being able to be validated as a female when you have special talents that the world is not ready for is a great gift. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Thank you, Sally Lou. I really appreciate it. I've loved being here with you.
Thank you. I love being here with you.
Thank you.
Okay. Oh, Kirsten, thank you so much. This was so fun.
Oh, good. I'm so, so glad. Fun. I hope you got what you, you know, you felt like it was a good.
As long as I'm recording, it's perfect. It's great. It's wonderful. Oh, and I think, and I didn't even go there, but like, wouldn't it be so cool? It's like I, like, I'm going to make some, like a kind of an analogy where, you know, the world, like if you have a trans child.
Yes. Yes.
Gay children, trans children, whatever it might be, like mm-hmm. where you just don't even have to say it. Oh, you know, I'm gay.
I know.
Like,
oh, I know. Right.
Can, do we not, can we stop with the coming out? Because
I know
it's just who you are. That's cool. Like nobody has to come out and say I'm this because this is different and not really accepted. So I have to tell people it. And that's the way I feel about being woo-woo. It's like the woo-woo is just to say that is a little like, you know, it's there's judgment to it. You know, it's like, that's woo-woo. Like meaning that's not true. That's totally crazy. It's out there. Yeah. And I just think that that as we move through life, like that, like, and language and words are so important. Like, I think that I use it too all the time, but I think that it should be replaced with, you know, spiritual intelligence or, you know, how we've done emotional intelligence or something like, I have a friend who is spiritually intelligent. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As opposed to woo-woo.
I know. It's so true.
I think more and more we're going to realize this is not fake. Like this is not for the movies. This is real, real life.
And it's pretty crazy, right? When you think about how, where we were before, like the show medium, like all of those things started to come in. Right. So we're, I think we're definitely advancing in that, but I was still scared to even, you know, be known as associated with of it. Right. So
of course
I was like, oh, this is going to hurt my business, my family.
And,
I had to get
over couldn't,
that.
you couldn't say no because it was happening whether you liked it or not.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, exactly. It was very strong, obviously. Crazy.
Well, but thank you so much.
Thank you.
I have loved speaking with you today and I want to speak with you more. So follow me at Live Love Speaks. And if you want more stories like the stories we speak here on the Love Speaks series podcast, go to lovespeaks.com and pick up a copy of my book, Speak. Love your story. Your audience is waiting to step up your speaking game and your human game.